don't even know why I'm even up here. It's ridiculous. Next time you sing a song like that, will you please let me know ahead of time so I can compose myself or have Kleenex or a towel or something? That's ridiculous. I'm a crybaby. That's what Brent Hawley said. He said, if I'm a crybaby, what does that make you? He didn't answer me. But anyway, praise the Lord for that song. You know, the only thing good in me or you ever is Jesus. Amen. Great day. Whew. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to look at lots of verses. So we're going to go, in case you need a plan, we're going to go from Deuteronomy to Psalms. Okay, now, if you don't know where Psalms is, it's in the middle. So just have it, and you'll probably be there. If you're Proverbs, you need to go to the left a little bit, or west. If you're in Job, you need to go to the right a little bit, or east in the book. Okay, so just in case you need some time to get there, I want you to make sure you get there. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. and I promise you this, if you've already tried to decide where I'm going with this message, you have no idea. Okay, so just wait for me, and I'll show you where I'm going. All right, so don't have any preconceived notions. And I want to talk with you tonight. I think we're going to help our church, Lord willing. Deuteronomy 6. The Bible says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. You kind of get the idea from the passage that these commandments, these statutes, the judgments, he uses three different words to describe God's word, are meant to be passed along. Did you get that? That thy sons and thy son's sons. That's the intention. So verse 3 says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. It has to be there first. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So it's apparent here to perhaps even the casual reader that when God gives us the law as parents, when he gives us the word of God as parents, it is our obligation, our responsibility, really, to make sure that our children learn what God is teaching us, and according to the Bible here, it begins with us hiding it in our heart. It has to come from here before it will get into their heart. How many believe that? It's got to be here first, okay? So, apparently, God wants us to have a hand in teaching us, teaching our children that which is right, that which is wrong, the things from the Word of God. So now go to the book of Psalms, and we're going to begin in 1. I'm not going to preach through all 150 Psalms, okay? So I'm just going to do one verse here, then we're going to go to 10, then to 40, and then to 12, okay? So I'm just going to follow a thought process here tonight, and this is a little out of my character, but I felt like this is the way the Lord wanted me to go. I think he does that sometimes to keep me on my toes and to trust him. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let's read that verse all out loud together. Ready? Begin. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth. Okay, so God says, look, I'm going to pronounce a blessing. I'm going to promise you that if you're going to walk in my counsel, not in the counsel of the ungodly. We would say that would be the unsaved people. I'm not looking for you to look for counsel in anybody but me. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Verse 2 tells us, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So he says, this is what I don't want you to do, but this is what I want you to do. So the counsel then is supposed to come from the word of God. Okay, go to Psalm 10 now, okay? So we're responsible to get our counsel not from the unsaved, but the saved, and really from the Word of God. Our responsibility as parents is to teach our children what the Bible says and how it lives out in our life. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 10, notice in verse 2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Is this the right passage of Scripture? Yes, okay. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Now, remember, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Okay? So we're following this line of the unsaved. Now, why does God say, I don't want anybody to sit in the counsel of the ungodly? The wicked is the same. It's the unregenerate man. Well, here's why. Because the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. It goes on to say, let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. So you get the idea here, and you kind of get it right now, and it's going to continue to go. You kind of get the idea that there's a problem that the wicked have with God, and God has a problem with them. All right, so look at verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after who? Okay, so the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, let's read the next line together, will not seek after God. God is not in all, which would include any, right? Not in all of his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved from what I think, am, or what I do. For I shall never be in adversity. My way is the right way. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief. And what's the next word? What's the next word? Vanity. He sitteth, that is the wicked, not only in pride, not only against God, and he abhorreth God, and God abhorreth him, but he sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, and in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. You kind of get the idea that this guy is not just against God, he's against anybody that's not like him and wants desperately them to be like him. Okay? That's the idea here. So let's look then at Psalm, let's go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, 4-0. So God says, okay, I have a law for you. I want you to hand it down. Both, everybody together, I want you never to take advice from the ungodly. Here's why. He lays it out there in Psalm 10. Because of this, this is where his thought process is. It's not for me, it's against me, and because of that, I'm against him. All right, so let's look at verse 40 and verse 4. God says, again, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So God says, again, there's a blessing for the individual who will trust God and not respect those who are proud of themselves or in their own decision-making process, but rather that those who trust the Lord, those that would say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to the boastful lies of the wicked. Instead, I'm going to follow the Lord for me. All right, that's everybody's responsibility. So now go to Psalm 12 and verse 1 and 2, and I'll tell you why this is the case. Okay? Psalm 12. This is the last one, and then I'll pray and we'll begin. Psalm 12. We all there tonight? We all still listening? Good. Okay. Psalm 12, verse 1. Look up here for a second. What I'm about to read is what happens when the previous verses are not heeded. Okay? When parents are not taking the responsibility to ensure that their children not only know what God's Word says, but how to apply it in their life, when we as parents, either ourselves or we put our children in the way of the ungodly so that they're taking counsel from them, what I'm about to read you is the result of that. All right? Now notice what it says. The Bible says the word help. Rightly, Lord. Okay? Help, Lord, for the godly man, what's the next word? Ceaseth. For the faithful, what? Fail among the children of men. They speak. There's that word, vanity. It's empty. It means nothing. It's not. There's no eternal value. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. I want to talk to you tonight, really just kind of share with you my heart about making the most of another school year. All right? Father, I love you and I thank you for directly giving me your message in my prayer closet. I'm humbled that you would speak so clearly, and I'm asking you tonight to help me do the same in conveying, Lord, what I believe is directly from you, not extra revelation, but Lord, certainly the revealed will of God as it is in the Bible. Lord, I stand immediately, directly in the place where I need your mightiest and greatest help. I certainly am going to fail tonight in communicating what I believe is your heart for our church families. So I pray that you'd please fill me. Lord, first just make sure that I'm emptied of everything self-sufficient and vain. Please cleanse me from my sin that I may be filled with thy Spirit. I pray that you would actually use me tonight and you would preach through me your message as I long to be your mouthpiece. It is imperative that I have your greatest help tonight. Please help me. Please help me to be obedient. Lord, just set a watch at my lips and stop me if I'm going to say anything that would hinder your Holy Spirit or something that would be an offense to anybody here tonight. I do not want to do that. And so I pray that you'll just help me to be obedient, to say only in all of those things that you'd have me to say. And when it's all said and done, I pray first that you would be pleased, that you would be honored, Lord, that we would leave here encouraged and helped. Bless our time together, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This week as I was praying for our church family, the Lord began to burden my heart about preaching a message that should help our church with another school year. Now, before you check out on me, there's some of you here that don't have children or you don't have children in school anymore. And there's a portion of this message, I think, well, really all of it, but there is a portion of the message that you can be a help also. So I want you just to listen carefully. I think Bible truth is translateral. It goes through all ages and all circumstances of life. So just bear with me for a few minutes as I try to be a help to our core and our families. Our church is full of great people. And I mean that. It's full of great people. I'll say it again in case you don't believe it. Our church is full of great people. It really is. I believe our church is full of sincere people of God who want to do what's right. I believe they are people who sincerely want their children to do what's right. How many would say, Pastor, I want my kids to do right? If you want your kids to do right? I really do. I believe that our church is full of parents like that. I believe there are parents in this building who genuinely have a desire for their children to discover and fulfill the will of God in their life, no matter what it is. In fact, I would say this without a doubt. I believe that every parent in here is like that. I do not believe with all my heart, God knows me and my heart, like Bethany just said, the closets and the hallways of my heart, he knows them. He knows what's on the walls. I believe that every parent in this room wants the will of God for their children. I believe that. I have to believe that. If I stray from that, then the devil starts to play ping pong with my brain cells, okay? I don't want to believe that there's anybody in this building that is not that way. I choose to believe that. I really do believe that. I believe there are parents in this building who have the desire for their kids not just to discover it, but to fulfill it. Now, keeping that in mind, that I believe, and I think that you believe, I think that you're convinced, I want my kids to do what's right. I want my kids to be in the will of God for their life. Keeping in mind, then, that principle, I want you to understand one of the Bible distinctives, which is a Baptist distinctive, that every Christian, then, in trying to do what God says in their family and trying to keep the right counsel in the home and the right counsel before their children and make sure that the wrong counsel is kept from their children. I want you to understand that every Christian mom and dad has individual soul liberty. Now, you may not know what that means, but here's what it means. It means that you get to choose what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to choose. And if you say, this is what I believe because I have spent time with the Lord, I've sought his will, and this is the will of God for me concerning A, B, C, or whatever in my life. That is individual soul liberty. That means that you have the not just ability and power to make that choice, but you're responsible for that choice. And I can't interfere with that. Brother Sean, if you choose, whatever you choose for your life, for your wife, for your family, for your kids, that's your choice. And I'm okay with that. All right? That's individual soul liberty. It's not everybody has to conform and drink this Kool-Aid. All right? Zeke Kyle has gone long by the wayside. All right? And that's the idea. The idea is individual soul liberty means I get to, with the help of God's word, figure out what is the will of God for me, for my family, and I choose, and that choice is okay with everyone. That's individual soul liberty. So I'm okay with whatever you choose because I'm not making the choice. You are. Okay, here's the verse. This is the verse. Write this down. By the way, you don't have an outline. Is everybody okay? Somebody came up and was like, where's the outline? Where's the outline? Where's the outline? How many people said to the usher, where's the outline? Anybody? Oh, a couple of you did. Okay, one of the ushers said, yeah, I was wondering where the outline is. So there's no outline tonight. Here's why. Because I want you to write down what the Lord says. I want you to write this down. Okay, so, but I want you to write this verse down. All right, Romans 14:5. This is the verse for individual soul liberty. I have a choice to make concerning the will of God for my life. The Bible says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Here's the principle. Let every man, listen carefully, be fully persuaded in his own mind. Okay? What you esteem greater or less than what I would esteem, you have to be persuaded in. I can't persuade you, then that's not the will of God if I persuade you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mike. It's I can't persuade you. You have to be fully persuaded with what God is showing you. Does everybody understand that? Because remember, if you go back to Deuteronomy 6, God says, here's the statutes, the judgments, here's the law, the commandments that I've given you. These are given for you to do and to pass down. Now, here's some godly counsel. Stay away from ungodly counsel. The wicked are never going to help you be able to fulfill what I've told you to do. Nevertheless, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey, a curse if you disobey. So God obviously is given us the power and the privilege of choice. That is our individual soul liberty. Now, the verses that we read just a minute ago, all 20-some of them, all have to do with teaching our children about spiritual virtue, listen carefully, and principles, moral principles, and the Word of God, so that they will conduct their lives in a fashion that pleases God. That's why he gave us the Word of God. But when it comes to necessary education, the Bible is somewhat silent. I want you to be very careful through these next few verses, all right? What I mean is you will not find in the Bible a verse that says, thou shalt send your children to SMBC or SMBS only. We all okay? Just checking. You will also not find a verse that says, thou shalt not send thy student to Christian schools only. So the verse is true. I do believe, however, the Bible gives principles to help guide a father and a mother as they attempt to find suitable education for their children, just like the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not get a tattoo. It does not say, thou shalt not smoke. However, there are principles in Scripture that teach us that those things would be against Scripture. Now, in matters then like the schooling and education of every Christian has to exercise their conscience and their heart when it comes to what do I do with my children. And listen, whatever that decision is belongs to that family. That is individual soul liberty. Can I get an amen right there? Okay, good. That was a little weak, but we'll work on it. Now, the same is true about many areas in our lives. For instance, families do different things from other families when it comes to entertainment. All right? What do? We exercise individual soul liberty. I preach the principles in the Word of God. Dad and mom take them home and make a decision, maybe even at the altar, maybe in a home at their own family altar. We're not going to have anything more than PG-13 movies in our house. Okay? Some people have made decisions like that. You have another family that goes to the same service, hears the same principles, and says, well, I don't want to have anything more than G-rated movies in our house. Same service, same principle, same salvation, same Holy Spirit. Everybody here with me? Amen. Okay. Another family sitting in the same service goes home and says, we're not going to have any movies at all in our house. Okay? Still with me? Same message, same Holy Spirit, same principle, but everybody is exercising individual soul liberty, right? And we all come back together, and Lord willing, nobody walks around and says, well, I don't allow any movies in my house. And looks down, and you allow what? You allow a G-rated movie? Oh, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as this G-rated movie watcher, you know. That's not exercising individual soul liberty. You're just being a Pharisee. Okay? Individual soul liberty means I'm okay with the decision I made because I'm going to give an account to God for it. And I'm okay with the decision that you made because I'm not going to give an account to God for it. That is individual soul liberty. Can we say those three words together? Individual soul liberty. Aren't you thankful for that? Good. I'm thankful for it too. Now, some families will exercise a different choice or standard in the area of clothing. Given the options that we have today, where most of the clothing that is sold on a secular line is not very modest, we have to be very careful. But I don't get to choose that for you. You do. Wives, I would like to caution you that you shouldn't think that something is okay, but you should rather ask your husband if this is too revealing or if this is not modest enough, because you're not a man. So I'll leave it at that. So we exercise individual soul liberty at that. Many people exercise individual soul liberty with their friends. Not everybody is just as friendly or spends just as much time with everybody else in this room. You have some friends that are closer and some friends that are, I'm not saying that you disdain them or you can't stand, oh, here comes so-and-so. No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is we all have a different set of friends most of the time, okay? And that's okay. Why? Because of individual soul liberty. We get to choose the kind of people that we want to sharpen us or to encourage us. We get to exercise that individual soul liberty in matters of fellowship. So, in explaining individual soul liberty tonight, in the context of our child's education and the beginning of another school year, I want to encourage our families tonight about how to make the most of it. Listen, whether you have your child in a Christian school, whether you have your child in this Christian school, whether you have your child in a public school, I don't care. Why? Because of individual soul liberty. Say those three words together. Individual soul liberty. I'm not going to give an account for you, and I'm not trying to shrug it off and say, well, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying, I believe what the will of God is for my life, and I've got to be okay with your decision about God's will for your life. Now, I'm okay with it. The question is, are you? Are you okay not being like anybody else? That is individual soul liberty. The devil has made bazillions on telling women how he thinks they should look. And there's a model that he tries to form them in. The same thing is true with what a real manly man is. Okay? And yet, God has a totally different set of standards and expectations for both genders. Okay? So what are we left with? We're left with individual soul liberty. I don't care whether your child goes to where your child goes to school, as long as it is where the Lord has specifically directed your heart and conscience to go. The question is, if you're fully persuaded about the will of God in your life, in that area, then who am I to tell you otherwise? Now, if you're fully persuaded, then I'm for you. You get it? Because that's where we started. Every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Why is it so important to be fully persuaded? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If I make a decision that is not in the will of God, and I'm questioning it back and forth, I promise you, based on the authority of Scripture, it's going to affect all my other ways. Does that make sense? It's going to affect my relationships. It's going to affect how I communicate about that subject. Why? Because I'm uncomfortable with it. Well, then you're not fully persuaded. That means to him that knows to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now we have a problem. Now, if you are fully persuaded, then I'm for you, and I'm going to try to help you in every way that I can. Each school year then brings with it a new set of challenges. Those challenges are opportunities to glorify God through your life and the life of your child, and that's what the message is all about. What I'm saying is that there are people in this church family that come to church together. I always look at it like this. If we didn't have a school, nobody would give a rip. Right? I'm going to preach tomorrow to the chapel students how to divide or destroy their youth group. I'm going to help them with that. I'm going to teach them how to destroy and divide and split their youth group, ruin friendships. I was trying to be an encouragement. I feel it's my responsibility to teach them how to ruin what God's trying to build. Okay? Now, if we didn't have the school chapel, and by the way, I'm just trying to cut the head off the stake tonight. If we didn't have the school, all we would have would be a youth ministry. And that would be okay. If all we had in options in this area were, for lack of a better word, public schools, secular institutions of the mind, then what would we do? Maybe you would homeschool, maybe you wouldn't homeschool. Maybe you don't have it in you to homeschool. Maybe you would try to trust the Lord and put your child in a public school because that's what the will of God is for you at that moment. Then what would we do? We would all have to be okay. You see? So whether we have a Christian school or whether we do not have a Christian school is irrelevant as long as we understand two things. The will of God and individual soul liberty. Let's say those three words together. Individual soul liberty. You're going to go home tonight. You're going to ask your son, what was the message about? Individual soul liberty. I don't know what that means, but I just remember saying it. Okay. So whether your child, wherever they're being educated, even if they're being educated at home, I want to try to help you. Okay. That's what a pastor is supposed to do. Some of you are probably saying, well, it's about time that you help me with something and encourage me. All right. So we muddled through all that to make sure that we all understand that at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the ground is level. There is nobody in this building any better or any worse for where they choose to put their children for matters of education. Now, if you agree with that, let me hear you say amen. Okay, good. So grab your pens. I'm going to be a help to you. I'm going to give you 85 ways to be to make the most of this school year, all right? You don't have to write all 85 down, but you might want to write maybe the odd numbers or maybe the even numbers. I don't know. Okay, so we're going to go fast now. That was the longest introduction in the history of one of my messages. Well, maybe the second longest, but we're going to try to go quickly and try to be a help tonight. Okay, so how do I make pastors, now that I've gotten okay in my mind that everybody in here is the same, all right, on the plane. How do I make the most out of another school year? By the way, when you have as many kids as I do, and some of you do, it's another school year. And with that comes a different set of challenges because they're all over the map. Some elementary, some teens, or whatever. And we have a variety of people that we have to interact to. I should say we get to interact with. And how do I make the most of it? So, number one, I would tell you as a parent, be proactive. Be proactive. I'm going to give you some ways to be proactive. Listen very carefully. Be proactive in what your child is learning. Be proactive in the curriculum. And be proactive how they are learning. Now, I will caution you that if your child is in a public institution, I want to make sure that you're extraordinarily proactive with what they're being taught, with all the things about, doesn't matter what gender you are, you can go in this bathroom and you can dress in that dressing room and all that kind of stuff. And if you don't know how to have SEX, this is how to have it, and this is how to prevent what happens when you do have SEX and all that stuff. Look, if you don't want that, you need to walk in there and say, I'm sorry, but my kid's going to be absent that day. But you have to be proactive. Why? Because the Bible says it's your responsibility. Your children belong to you. They don't belong to the state. They don't belong to me. They don't belong to the church. They belong to you as gifts from God. And he says, you're the steward of those lives. Everybody with me? Say amen. Okay. So be proactive. If you're proactive with what they're learning, you won't have to be reactive when you find out later. You'll be prepared before. Be proactive in what your child's learning. Secondly, be proactive in your child's relationships, wherever they are. And by the way, I'm saying all this to people who have kids in our school. You need to be proactive with our staff. You need to know what they're being taught. You say, well, Pastor, can't we trust them? Well, I hope you can, but you shouldn't take anything for granted. You shouldn't be taking anything for granted how they're learning it and if they're learning it properly and their grades and things like that. You need to be proactive. Don't sit back as a parent and say, well, I'm going to wait till the teacher tells me something. Why don't you go ask them something? Why don't you take it as a responsibility as the parent of your child so that you can learn what they're learning and how they're learning it? Maybe they're not learning very well. That's your responsibility to find out what the problem is and to help the teacher so that we can help your student. Okay? All of our staff said amen. Thank you, Pastor. All right. Now, okay, so be proactive. Remember, this is for everybody. I don't care where your children go to school. That's between you and God. My job is to try to help you make the most of the will of God for your life. So be proactive then, secondly, in your child's relationships. Make sure that you are very interested in the friends that your children are hanging around or texting with or photo whatever that they do on the thing and the social media. The ice bucket challenges that are flying around. Just make sure that you're involved in their relationships. Why? Because you never know what may happen. Okay? I'm going to get ahead of myself. I don't want to. Here's another thing you need to be proactive in, and this is especially based on Deuteronomy 6. Be proactive in your child's walk with God. Be proactive with your child's walk with God. As parents, we cannot take any aspect of our child's life for granted. Satan, listen, is working on them just like he's working on you. Look, if they're saved, the devil wants them just as bad, mom and dad, as he wants you. So don't take it for granted. Well, he lives in a Christian home. He goes to this school or he goes to this church or whatever. The devil won't be, no. The devil wants to destroy him just as bad as he wants to destroy you. So don't take that for granted. Understand that the devil is preying on your son or your daughter. Satan is working on them just like he is on you. So you better be standing guard. Now, I know it's hard work just to take care of yourself, but you should have thought about that before you started having kids. If you didn't want to stand guard over your children, you shouldn't have had. Okay? So what I'm trying to help you with is it's your responsibility to watch over, to guard and protect your child's heart. You know why? Because they may not be old enough to do that yet. They may still need your help. They may still need your attention in that area. So be on guard. Don't make the mistake of saying, well, I'm glad I don't have to worry about this child. You know, you have as many as I have. You think, they're good, they're good. That one scares me to death. That one. Don't. You don't get to pick and choose who you think the devil's going after. He's going after all of them. And by the way, just because I stopped at three, don't think that Austin scares me to death. Right? My family's all, it's Austin. I'm okay. No. You're all. The only good thing in you is Jesus, all right? Now, I guess what I'm trying to say is that as parents, we really do need to be involved in what is going on in our child's heart. Would you agree with that? At all times. So let me give you a verse. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, which by the way, the Greek word there for fathers is conclusive of both sets, husband and wife. You parents, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Be proactive or you will be forced to be reactive. And what was before, listen, what was before will never be again. If you're not proactive and you, because of not being proactive, have to deal with a situation, and now you're reactive, what was before that situation will never be the same ever again. Okay? So number one, be proactive. Isn't that great? Number two, be prudent. I'm going to define for you, I did this for my Sunday school class today, I'm going to define for you prudence, and I'm going to use the definition for wisdom to do it. Wisdom is devising and executing that which is good or right according to the Word of God. That's what wisdom is. It's taking what I know God says and what I know God wants and devising a plan, then executing that plan to please the Lord. That's what wisdom is. Prudence is the character of wisdom that goes along with understanding and is part of the fear of the Lord. Prudence is discerning that which is wrong or evil and doing whatever is necessary to avoid it. That's what prudence is. Proverbs 22:3 is your verse. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and what? Hideth himself. But the simple, the ones who don't care to know or who are not proactive, pass on and are punished. Why? Because they didn't hide themselves. They foresaw that there may be something questionable or even sinful down this road, but instead of hiding myself or preventing myself from going down that evil road, I'm just going to pass on. Those people are going to have to deal with the consequences of sin. That's the idea. So when I say to you, be prudent about your school year, your student, there's several areas I want you to think about being prudent. Number one, be prudent with your child's schedule. Make sure that their life is not all play so that they can balance their walk with God and serving God. If they don't have a walk with God, but they have a walk with everybody else, you've got a problem on your hands and you don't even know it. They may be happy, they may be busy, they may be content, but their heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you, as long as they can't know it, and neither can you. So make sure that you balance that. Be prudent, all right? Be cautious. Be discerning with your child's schedule. Secondly, be prudent with your child's relationships. I already talked about that. Be prudent with when it comes to confrontation, okay? In several ways. When you are dealing with your student, or you're dealing with your student in a confrontation with another student, or if you're dealing with a confrontation that has brought your students under some condemnation of the authority, be very prudent with, listen, your testimony. Be prudent with your testimony and the testimony of Jesus Christ, especially with people who you are not sure of their salvation or their Bible experience. So I want you to write down two words, defer and prefer. Okay? If I don't know where someone else's heart really is, I need to defer and take the higher road. I just need to learn to let the love of God be shed abroad in my heart. I need to learn what mercy means. I need to prefer one another. Why? Because I really don't know what all the details are. This whole mess in Ferguson, Missouri started because none of the true details were known to the public. They kept that part. They shed the authority in a bad light. Next thing you know, Dave, we got looters all over the place. We want to empower cops to go out like Brother Gridley, and we trust you to serve and protect, but we don't want to trust the decision that you made when some big man comes and just starts to bash your face in. Okay? So we vilify the authority. Make sure that you're very prudent when it comes to matters of confrontation. With your child, with the staff, with your teachers, with your assistants, whomever you're dealing with, because you want to always protect the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says today, we read in Ephesians, let it not be once named among you. All right? Be prudent with influences. Be prudent with what matters. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. All right? So be proactive in your child's life. Be prudent. Thirdly, promote authority. The Bible says in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. If you have your son or daughter at Live Oak, Sobrato, or some other school, whatever it is, you have an authority in that room that you have entrusted your children to when you're not present. Is that true? Okay. Then don't cut their hamstrings. Don't vilify them behind their back. Don't go out of your way to make your child right and them wrong. They may be the right ones. So be very careful with how you deal with that. Promote authority. I'm not saying, listen, that every teacher is perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect teacher. We have great teachers, but not a one of them are perfect. All right? So I'm not saying that every teacher is perfect. I'm not saying that every teacher, listen carefully, is always right. All right? I'm not saying that every teacher always makes the right judgment, all right? But they always need to be supported. Say amen right there. Every teacher, I don't care where your education rests. Every teacher, every authority needs to be supported and promoted in the eyes of your children unless they are morally wrong in an area of their life. That's when you need to point out what moral ineptitude is and say, this is wrong and this is right. I'll deal with it. Now, let me say this. For example, if you're a Christian, you're going to be against some of the things that your child is going to hear and experience in a public school. It's just a matter of fact. But how you handle it is what is going to make the difference in your child's respect for people later in life. I can respect someone in a position even though I disagree on some important biblical issues or moral values. Would you agree with that? I can respect the President of the United States because he is the President of the United States. By the way, if you can't, I'm sorry. You should be able to. He's the President. He is our leader. We may not agree. We may not like his personality. We may not like his stance. We may not agree on a whole lot, but he's still the President of the United States. And he's worthy of our prayers. And he's worthy of our respect. Okay? When our candidate is in office, we have no problem saying that to the liberals. Well, you should respect him. Well, you should respect him. Sometimes I feel like jumping the other side and say, well, you should do it too. That's the way we ought to be. Okay? Are we all right? Okay. So we got to learn to respect someone in a position. The ultimate example, Jesus disagreed with everything that was being done to him during his mock tribunal. But he never disrespected the authority. He never reviled the authority that was there. He reviled not. He respected the authorities that were. The Bible says in Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with, say it out loud, good. If there's been a problem and you really want to know how the teacher came to the conclusion they did, make an appointment with that teacher. Doesn't matter whether they're saved or whether they're lost. Make an appointment with that teacher. Try to understand where they're coming from. Go to them in private to protect the integrity of the position and uphold the respect for authority in your child's life. Be proactive. Number two, be prudent. Number three, promote authority. Number four, please, for the love of your Savior, be peaceable. Be peaceable. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. The Bible says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I said that was the last book, and I lied. Well, not on purpose. Ephesians 4. Is everybody okay in here? I hope so. Is this a help okay? All right, good. Ephesians 4. Be peaceable. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, verse 1, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation that is being saved, wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. Let me just say this real quickly. I'm going to hasten. Be at peace with God. Okay? I'm never going to be at peace with my wife. I'm never going to be at peace with my children. I'm certainly not going to be at peace with my coworkers. I'm not going to be at peace with my children's authority. I will never even be able to function in an arena of peace with them if I am not at peace with the Lord. Exercise your conscience to be void of offense between both God and man. They go together. Be at peace with the Lord. And then be at peace with each other in the house. Be at peace with your spouse and the decision that you've come to the conclusion with. Be at peace with your children. Make your children be at peace with one another. Somebody say amen right there. Make sure that they understand thou shalt get along. And if thou shalt not get along, I shall do something about it. All right? So if we're at peace with God and peace with one another, then we understand that we should be at peace with the school staff, wherever that may be. Remember, I'm not talking about our staff. I'm not talking about the administration. I'm talking about the administration of your child's school. So teach your children then how to be at peace with their friends. And teach them that it all begins, Michael, Dave would say to Michael, if you're at peace with God. And can I say this? You may not be able to break it down far enough for your child's age, but you need to learn to. You need to figure out a way to communicate to your children. It is viably important in your Christian life to be at peace with everybody. Somebody say amen. Well, so please help me, please. Okay, I know it's warm and I know it's late, but I got to get this out. We have got to learn to endeavor to keep the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. Say amen. We've got to learn to do that. Why? Because God says so. Now, that has to begin. Judgment has to begin in the house of God. If it's not going to begin here, it won't be at home, and it will not be in your school tomorrow. It has to begin here. You've got to listen. If you won't listen to the voice of reason, maybe you'll listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God says, you need to be at peace with me so that you can be at peace with everyone else. Now, I need to be proactive as a dad. I need to be prudent as a parent. I need to promote authority whenever it's possible. I need to live peaceably with all men as much as lieth in me. Number five, I need to learn then to be patient with people who may not be peaceable. We're like the servant sometimes who couldn't pay his debt in Matthew 18 who cried, have patience with me. But if we're honest, we're not always patient with others the way we want them to be patient with us. We're not always that patient. Can I just say, be patient with your child, first of all? Their grades may not be where you would like them to be, but be patient so that you can help them get them where they need to be. Be patient with your child's attitude. Their attitude may not be necessarily what you expected, but be patient with trying to shape and help change that attitude. Now, listen, before you rush to judgment on them, whether it's grades or attitudes or relationships, be patient because some of what is wrong with your child may be your fault. If you're not proactive, then you better be very slow to wrath because they may be simply responding because you've not been proactive and now you have to be reactive. Be patient with the staff at your child's school. You never know what kind of day they may have had. You never know what may have gone on recently in their life. Recently, Ms. Stallnaker's grandfather passed away. Ms. Stallnaker has a problem with your child, and the next thing you know, you want to go there and basically you just want to put her on the firing line. How in the world could you possibly? She may not have made the best or righteous judgment, but she did what she did at the moment, and she may even be willing to change it, but you don't. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a bad day? Have you ever had something go wrong desperately, and it affected and clouded perhaps your judgment, or it burdened you to the point where you don't really know what necessarily you need to do or how to say it, and maybe you said it wrong? So there is a thing called giving someone the benefit of the doubt. I'm just simply saying, be patient. Be patient with your child. By the way, I'm preaching to myself. Be patient with this child's authority. Be patient with the teacher. You never know what may have happened. Listen to a few verses. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, Paul said to Timothy, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. The Apostle Paul has struck many of people as being this brazen, loud, brash, commanding personality, and that's not what you find in Scripture. Many times, someone who is as effective as Paul with the Holy Spirit could, in a fleshly moment, look at people who are not developing on their timetable and say, why aren't they responding better to the Holy Spirit? Why aren't they growing? The Apostle Paul didn't have to worry about that. Why? Because of individual soul liberty. He understood some people are going to be babes, and they're going to have their wheels stuck in the mud for a long time. He was okay with that. He was okay with it. Why? Because he was exercising individual soul liberty. He preached. In fact, he said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I'm going to fulfill the will of God from my life. If they want to respond, they'll respond. Now, did it hurt him? Oh, it did. He said, my heart is breaking for Israel. I would to God that my brethren Israel would be saved. I would rather be accursed, anathema. I would rather die and go to hell and be without Christ that they might be saved. That's how burdened the man was. But he never was impatient. He was confident that the Lord was doing a work even in Israel, and he is. Now the question is, are you confident in God's working in you and your child and in your child's authority? Are you confident in that patience having its perfect work, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience? But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. That's how long we're supposed to be patient for. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Did you know, I believe if I exercise patience as a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God, that it's going to yield in my life and the lives around me. So be proactive. How are you going to make the most of this year, another year? Be prudent. Be promoting. Promote authority. Be peaceable. Be patient. Number six, and this is for everybody, be prayerful. Even if you don't have a child in our school or any school, would you pray for those who do? Because we kind of need it. I need prayer. You need prayer. If you're a mom or dad, whether you're homeschooling, your child's in Sobrano or Live Oak, I don't care. The fact is, if you're parenting, you need prayer. So those of you who are not parenting, would you pray for those of us that do or are? There's a lot, by the way, riding on what happens to our children before they grow into adulthood. It's the will of God for their lives. We need your prayers. How many parents, I'm talking about parents that have kids still under your roof, that are in school, that are still under your authority, how many parents would say to everyone else that doesn't, would you please pray for me as a parent? How many would say that? I need your prayers. We all do, okay? So then pray for those who don't. But let me say for the parents, you need to be praying for your children. Be prayerful. How am I going to get the most out of the school year? Why don't you pray for your student? Why don't you, pray for their teachers. Why don't you pray for the one that's exercising, or at least trying to exercise, what wisdom God has granted them every day before them? You need some help in how to pray. Colossians 1, 9 through 13 is a good place to start. Pray for your child's heart to be tender and open to God's Spirit. Pray pray for the present in their life as well as for the future. Ask God for mercy. Listen very carefully. Mom and Dad, ask God for mercy that your children wouldn't commit the same sin you did when you were their age. Say, God, will you please have mercy on my children and help them to be better teenagers than I was, than we were. Pray for their teachers. Pray for their teachers to have wisdom and courage and discernment, to be filled with the Spirit. Then pray for your parenting. Ask God for wisdom and discernment and courage and love and patience. There's a lot to pray for. Would you agree? So we better get to praying. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. That's what it says. The Bible says, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. So you will have a much easier time with your child and with their teachers if you'll be constant and incessant in prayer. So let me give you number seven and we're done. Now, we've said a lot of things, but this is the one that everything hinges on. Okay, number seven, you must maintain a pure heart through it all. I'm not talking about just in August or September. I'm talking about all the way to the end of the school year. Maintain, the idea is throughout, right? While this school year goes on, make sure you are maintaining your own spiritual heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So this helps us provide then, when I maintain a pure heart, when I maintain a right heart before God, it helps me provide the right kind of example for my children. They get to see, oh, this is what a pure heart is. Now I can contrast it with maybe someone who is in my life, even if it may be my teacher. At least I see in my parents that they love God. Maintain a pure heart. If you maintain a pure heart, you'll be patient. You maintain a pure heart, you'll be peaceable. You maintain a pure heart, you will be prudent. You have no problems promoting authority because it's not about your gig, it's about what's right. We'll have no problems being prayerful because that's what's necessary to do so. It, you see, when you maintain a pure heart, it maintains maintains harmony in both the home, the school, and you guessed it, in the church. So God has entrusted many of us with children. He has given us. Those kids need to be educated in some things. How and where they're educated is up to each set of parents as they listen to the Holy Spirit of God. It is called, say it with me, individual soul. That's what it's called. No matter where that may be, we have an obligation to support one another because we're family. And that's, Dave, what family does. We support one another, endeavoring to keep the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. We have an obligation to support and pray for one another to ensure that we do not lose the next generation. It's really all about them. Understand? So how do we make the most of another school year? Can we review out loud together? Can we review if you've written it down? Number one, we must be proactive. Number two, we need to be prudent. Number three, we need to promote authority. Number four, we need to live peaceably. We need to learn to be patient. We must be prayerful. And we must maintain a pure heart. But you know, I believe that if God's ever going to send a revival to this church, it has to begin with a message like that. That's so out of the norm, that's so easing to say, you know what? We're a church family. It doesn't matter what we do. When we come in here, we're all on the same team. That's what it's all about. It's all about saying, okay, I'm exercising individual soul liberty, and I'm okay with you doing the same, Brother Dahl. I don't care where you put Marion in school. You're not even listening. You didn't even hear what I said, did you? No. I don't even know why I try with you. Fact of the matter is, God says, I am the Father. And I want all my kids, just like you want all of your kids, to be at peace one with another. So I hope you make the most of this school year. Maybe tonight some parents and some kids need to make some decisions. We're all going to be prudent. We're all going to live peaceably. We're going to do our best to promote the authority that God's put in our way. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I love you.